This time on episode 193 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we talk Legion Chapter 7, we talk weekly Marvel news, and we talk your feedback.
I'm Adam from the Digital Suit Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeek.com, and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show was recorded on Sunday, August 13th, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Vinyl Record Day.
Happy holiday, hipsters.
Yes, thank you, hipsters, for bringing this back. We owe you one.
And for those that are not the adroitly right-handed people, it's Happy National Left-Handed Day!
Happy Lefty Day to my husband.
Aw.
To my cousin, Brian.
And to Grandpa. R.I.P. Grandpa. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Barbershop Quartets.
If you'd like to talk to us about Barbershop Quartets, you can find us at our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail of a Barbershop Quartet singing, you can leave it at 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871.
You can post videos of Barbershop Quartets to our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can link us or post videos or whatever to stuff about Barbershop Quartets on our Twitter page, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can link us to other Barbershop Quartet YouTube channels at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Ladies, I think it's obvious, but I have to state it. Agent Haley is not with us tonight. Now, she is taking care of business, setting up her new covert base of operations.
Swanky.
Yeah, I am jealous. I say as the dogs upstairs are making noise.
And I'm not jealous of all the work that she is doing right now, but perhaps Cisco can come in and spice up her equipment a little bit. We'll see what happens there. So we're hoping to have Haley back in 3 episodes. She will not be with us next time, nor the time after, but hopefully after that. Today was not planned. It was kind of planned, but not planned. She had hoped to be here, but she's not. So we will see her in 3 episodes. So Haley, good luck moving and have fun on your working, I believe, vacation. So have fun with that. And with that, let's move on to the main event. Today, Michelle, Lauren, and myself get to go over Legion Chapter 7. Now, Chapter 7 aired Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017 on FX and earned a 0.72 rating. Legion was renewed the week before on March 15th, 2017. And there's just one more episode left. So this is the penultimate episode of Legion. So Michelle, we actually have a pair of great creative people behind this episode. Why don't you tell us all about the director?
Sure. This episode was directed by Denny Gordon, who has 71 director credits starting in 1994. This includes 4 Ally McBeal, 2 of The Office, 1 of the excellent show, The Cave, Oh, it's such a piece of work. 2 royal pains, 3 white collar, 1 suit, 8 burn notice, which is an actual good show. 1 of 12 monkeys, 1 empire, and this episode of Legion.
Well, now, Michelle, there's a huge list of great shows, 71 directing credits, which is well beyond what we put in the show notes. So you kind of have to give her a little cred for taking the cape. I mean, you got to pay the bills every once in a while.
Oh, sure. It's just, I actually am one of the 8 people who watched the cape from beginning to end. And, you know, it's just those of us who went through the cape, there's just a bond that we have. And it's just like you had to be there when you watched the cape. It's just one of those things.
I'm looking at her biography, and not only was a rough cut of a film that she did, it attracted the attention of George Lucas, who donated the film's mix at Skywalker Ranch. But she also directed the movie Joe Dirt, which I didn't like, but a bunch of my friends did. And she is the first American woman to direct a film for the domestic Chinese market. It was called My Lucky Star, and it starred Zhang Ziyi and Wang Lihom. And it was filmed in China and Singapore. So she's got some, like, history behind her.
Right. And there's some series in here that are just phenomenal. Michelle, you were reading them off. What is Single Female White Lawyer or whatever that was? Ally McBeal, that was the Futurama name for it, by the way. The Burn Notice, 8 of them, which is just a fun show for me. It was great. The one that caught my eye, though, really was 12 Monkeys. So that's an amazing series. And if you haven't watched that, if you just watched the movie, if you just haven't seen any of the screen versions of 12 Monkeys, I would highly suggest that you go to Sci-Fi and check that out. This is a swap, a change in SP's recommendation for the Sci-Fi channel from a couple of years ago, which I was saying, no, don't go anywhere near it. Well, 12 Monkeys was actually the first in a series of shows to bring the network back to relevancy with sci-fi. The Expanse was also another one, but 12 Monkeys was amazing. So Denny has some amazing creds. I'm looking forward to talking about this episode because I think she did a phenomenal job. But Lauren, not just the director, but we also have a great writer for this episode.
Yeah, the episode was written by Jennifer Yale, who has 9 credits since 2005. Started off with a TV series called Todd World, but she was the head writer for Harper's Globe, wrote 13 episodes. She was the staff writer for Dexter, wrote 12 episodes. Da Vinci's Demons, story editor for 10 episodes, wrote 1. Underground, which is a fantastic series, which was sadly canceled, and I'm really hoping they bring it back. Executive story editor for 10 episodes, she wrote 1 episode, and she wrote this episode of Legion. And she was an associate for Mel Brooks in the movie version of The Producers.
Nice. Jennifer Yale coming out with the cred. This episode is titled Chapter 7. It's the 7th episode of Legion in the first season. And often we start out with the meaning of the title and its relevancy to the episode. So, Michelle, since you're just joining us this week and for the first time in, I believe, 5 episodes talking about Legion, we want to give it over to you to explain the relevancy of the title, Chapter 7, to this episode of Legion.
Well, let's see. Every single episode has started with the word chapter. And the word chapter has been followed by the number of the episode. So this is the 7th episode of the first season of Legion.
See, I thought you were going to go stretch a little bit in the creativity and say, well, 7 chalkboards were used in the Shadow King storyboard or something like that. But no, you just went with the straight episode count, which that's something I would probably do. So, okay. So talking about the episode, Lauren, I think we need to start with something that we all use, glasses.
I don't.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
Yes, because once you hit about 45, you got to use those reading glasses. It's just something happens to the corneas where it just become inflexible and you can't see up close anymore.
It's called presbyopia, and it means old eyes, basically.
I have old eyes.
Yes.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it's not old eyes, it's special eyes. They're stuck in
you know, the Shadow King's projection of Clockwork still. Only this time with, they're not really zombies. It's more just rampaging, angry patients.
I'd probably go see more Stephen King movies if I had a pair of those glasses available to me.
Stephen King movies really aren't that scary.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
This is more like if you're watching, I don't know what, The Walking Dead or 28 Days Later.
28 Days Later, that's a good comparison. That one freaked me out.
World War Z, the movie version.
Nah.
Yeah.
I know people have issues, but those zombies are fast and they're horrifying.
That was one of my issues with the movie. I liked the book where they're slow. Mm. I mean, they're rotting. They shouldn't be fast. If you are an actual zombie, you are rotting. Anyway.
Biological facts, courtesy of Lab Rat Lauren.
Yes, but anyway.
So we have these fantastic glasses that allow our heroes to be able to operate within Clockworks and not be succumbed by the vision that is being forced upon them by the Shadow King, which, by the way, Michelle, the last time you were on, you kind of spoiled it for our listeners. You said, oh, this is Shadow King, but you asked before you said it, and I said, okay, so it's really my fault. But we actually get the affirmation that the being, the parasite within David is the Shadow King this episode. What did you think about that revelation?
I thought it was done really well. You first get it in the ice cube lair of Oliver with his, you know, martinis and such. And there with Carrie, and he's like, Oliver's like, well, you know what this is, right? You know, Farouk. And then all like Carrie was like, oh, that's right. The dog and the thing. It's the Shadow King. How did I not see this? And I really thought that reaction was right on point.
I don't know how this was for other fans, but when I get really wrapped up in a story, sometimes I forget stuff that I already know. And going into this, I mean, you know that the Shadow King is a huge part of David Haller's backstory. And I just got so wrapped up in the story that, I don't know, it was like mental block. So when this happened, I was like, oh yeah, this is a thing. And then all of a sudden, everything made sense. And I'm like, oh yeah, idiot. Okay, good going, self.
And it was pretty cool the way the revelation came out, because it was revealed in the ice cube with Oliver talking to Carrie. And that was pretty cool. It was also revealed to Carrie talking to Sid in the Cone of Silence. So that was pretty cool. But the way it was revealed to David himself was amazing in that classroom. And I enjoyed the way the storyboard, in fact, I've enjoyed the different ways that the past exposition has been given to us in a variety of different properties. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, for instance, that was pretty cool. But I did enjoy the way they did it on the chalkboard with the animation and the different like scenes. So it really ingrained into you the different phases of what happened in David's past and how the Shadow King came to be. And this series, which was confusing as all get out to all of us as we were watching the first several episodes, we were finally able to put everything together and see it explained to us on the screen. So I thought that was pretty neat the way they did it in the penultimate episode of this season.
Let's talk about that whole sequence with David. I mean, first we start off with him in the little mind box, and then another David shows up, a British David, who, by the way, is speaking with Dan Stevens's real accent, which was fun. You know, the rational British side of him is telling him, look, this is your mind. You can do whatever you want. So that's how we get from the box to the classroom.
I think that also served for the viewer like me as a sound differentiation between which one was which, because there was no other changes between the two. They were both the same state of unshavenness. They were both wearing the same clothes. They both had the same hairdo. They both were just the lookalikes, basically. And it must have been fun filming this for him.
And by the way, I've talked a lot about the costumes here. Right now, they're still in the Clockworks costume. Later, during the whole Shadow King rampage scene, which we'll talk about, David's wearing, again, the shirt that has the yellow triangle inside of the circle, again, showing the Shadow King's control. So we get rational British David trying to talk regular David through all of this. Like, okay, here's what you know. Use that to extrapolate what's going on, what you know happened. And that's how we get the story of, okay, he said he knew my father. My father must have been a mutant, let's say a psychic, because I have mind powers. We sort of see Professor Xavier. I mean, here he's a chalk drawing. And later we see, you know, the wheelchair. We see the X on the wheelchair. So that's sort of a cameo. But anyway, we see him fighting the Shadow King psychically, which, yes, happened in the comics. And actually, right here, we are seeing comics backstory. This is how the Shadow King was defeated. And I've actually been looking for, just side note, I've been trying to find my very first X-Men comic that I ever read. And the only thing that I really remember about it is that it has Moira MacTaggert and Banshee on Muir Island at the end, because I remember just trying so hard to figure out what the hell they were saying because of Marvel writers' tendency to write out phonetic accents. And I was positive for the longest time it was the Muir Island saga, but I just downloaded this comics this morning and it's not. But the Muir Island saga has to do with the Shadow King and Legion and everything. So it's been a nice little like, oh, it's a surprise. I get to reread this whole thing. But anyway, back to this. So this whole thing, it's a discovery of how David got the parasite, how he came to be adopted, and what exactly he can do about all of this.
I like how, you know, a lot of movies and TV shows, they do really boring exposition scenes where they're just sitting around talking or the audience feels like they're being lectured to and stuff. This was done to where it was very active, because not only is it exposition, but it's done to where it furthers the plot because it means David is starting to get agency and it helps reveal his character because he's learning that, yes, I was sick, but you know what? I have these powers because I am a mutant and I know how to do these things. And it's just a great way. Like, if you have to do exposition, this is a way to do it. And it was just really well done.
Yeah. So many times it's the, like, as you know, Bob, where they go and explain something that you would have no reason, like, you never go around in real life, just as you know, Bob-ing people, and then just tell them absolutely everything. Here, you are finding out things along with the character. I mean, we've talked about how the show was, it dropped us in at the deep end, but for David, he's been dropped in at the deep end too. So we are finding things out along with him, which ideally is the way that exposition should be found out. You find things out the same way you do in the real world.
So you mentioned something interesting a little back, Lauren, about Professor Xavier and the kind of cameo. So I'm wondering, in Deadpool 2 coming up next year, we've got a further confusion for Ryan Reynolds, because you've got the Patrick Stewart version, you've got the new version, and now you've got the chalk version. So which version of Charles Xavier is Deadpool's just not going to get it?
I vote chalk. I want there to be a giant chalk outline to be the one talking to them.
In Deadpool 2?
Yes.
That would fit Deadpool 2.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, this is the Professor Xavier from Legion. Don't you guys know?
I want everybody else to be like, no, this is a person. And Deadpool's the only one who sees it as chalk.
That's true. Oh, who would they cast for that?
Eddie Izzard.
She's bingo. I got it.
Yeah, it's Eddie Izzard doing his James Mason impersonation.
Oh my God.
See, this is why Lauren and Haley need to be on your payroll, Marvel, so you can come up with great ideas like that. And Marvel won't pay you, Fox. Maybe we'll have to negotiate a little bit here. So, I mean, I know you're not Sony, you're not combined in the MCU, but, you know, maybe we'll talk about it. All right.
I'll take what I can get.
Well, I mean, you like the mutants anyway, so you could take on Fox with corrections to, like, the Apocalypse movie and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually get a decently written Emma Frost.
You've been craving one of those for quite some time, I know.
Years.
All right. So let's get back to this episode. This great episode, by the way, of Legion Chapter 7. We're not sidetracking because we're trying to get away from discussion. It's just, we've got things to say here, so.
Yeah, what do you think this is, Iron Fist?
And to hear more about Iron Fist, you can tune in next episode as we talk the next episode of Iron Fist. But in the meantime, let's talk about the silent movie Bolero scene. That was amazing, Michelle, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness. It's one of the best uses of Bolero since Torval and Dean in the Winter Olympics, because there's Oliver, he's being active, and all of a sudden he uses this music to focus his power because he's trying to actually create a shield to protect David. With the letters, you actually see the letters start to form shield, 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 shield. And that music continues as, you know, the Shadow King is like, uh-oh, people are out of their cages. And it moves into, because what's interesting is that when they put on the glasses, reality is black and white. And they do this silent movie motif where they actually have the cards. And you're like, the monster enters. And I've studied film history, so seeing the accurate use of the movie techniques, it was like, oh, like the film geek in me was just going, oh, this is amazing. And just the way they were using them and the way Audrey Plaza was moving as Lenny. I have to get props to her. She's just been amazing this entire series. It was just one of the best sequences I've seen in television in a very long time. It's one of the reasons why this episode is my favorite. It was just brilliant and masterful.
Seriously. And well, Bolero is one of my favorite pieces of instrumental music. So it's already a huge, you know, yay for me. But like you said, Aubrey Plaza, the way she's moving, her facial expressions, it's all very... When I was watching it, it kept reminding me of like the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, like just the way that she was moving and stuff, like very Conrad Veidt. And then again, back in, you know, the real world, when we have Oliver, which by the way, when he first meets Melanie again, I mean, that scene was heartbreaking. It's funny, but it's heartbreaking. He remembers her, but he doesn't because it's just been so long. And he's forgotten so much stuff. But anyway, that whole weaving the shield thing is amazing.
Right. Now, get into Oliver and Melanie for a little second here. I actually, after the initial shock over he didn't remember her, I felt it really neat because it was like they were undergoing the romance from the beginning again. And she started to play into it. And he put the flower in her glass at the breakfast table at the end of the episode. And he was just really trying to court her, basically. And it was just endearing the way it was proceeding. It wasn't like he was absent of the fact that there was somebody special in his life. It's like he did remember that he had somebody and he was just trying to figure out who that somebody was. And he instantly, when he saw her, kind of assumed that they were meant to be together. And I think that was just very touching to watch. So I enjoyed it. I know it's heart-wrenching. I didn't like the end of Chuck because of the same deal. I really hated the end of Chuck actually because of it. But in this particular case, the memories aren't gone. They're just forgotten and they can come back. Whereas in Chuck, they were just gone. So I had a little bit of difference on how I deal with the two of them, but I did enjoy that. Michelle, what did you think about the Oliver and Melanie?
It's interesting because at the beginning of the episode, when he's in the ice cube, he's beginning to not remember words. He doesn't know time. When he hears the word wife, he thinks she must be Chinese or Japanese. And so it's interesting about like when he sees her, he's just like, I should know you, but I don't. Don't tell me your name. That'll be later. And it's one of the most heart-wrenching parts. And it's really interesting about just how of a tiny of a little subplot it is, but it's just done so well. And Jean Smart, who plays Melanie, just those little, that expression on her face to where like she knows that she just can't overwhelm Oliver with the truth, that she has to, you know, hold back. even though she wants to run and hug him and do all this type of stuff, but she knows that it would not help him and that she has to be patient and wait. It's just, it does break your heart.
Yeah, it's like having a loved one with dementia. You know, there's days, you know, eventually they're going to forget you. And when they see you and they don't remember who you are, or they remember something about you, but they don't remember your name or something like that, it's like a knife in the heart.
It is. And we'll see where that goes in the next episode and perhaps even next season. They are two really great actors, so I'd hate to lose them into next season. And just to backtrack a little bit, I have in my notes the Mission Impossible Cone of Silence when Carrie was talking to Sid in the astral plane. I think that was the Mission Impossible Cone of Silence. If not, it was a decent replica of it. So my kudos back to them. And it's time period specific as well. So as this whole thing ends, we transition into the finale. But before we do, we notice that Carrie, the female Carrie, is really upset with her other half, Carrie, the male carrier, over what had happened in the Clockworks in the astral plane, because she was left alone and she had to deal with the predator of the eye.
Yeah. Usually she can kind of fall back into him for safety. Like, again, he's the one that takes care of all the boring stuff. She gets to do the fun stuff. Here, this was not fun. This was scary and it was awful, and she had to deal with it all by herself. And it's like the trust was broken.
So, Michelle, you haven't been with us as we've been discovering this relationship between Carrie and Carrie. What do you think of what happened, and what do you think about their relationship with each other?
I don't blame Mel Carrie for going. He's the one that's had more life experience, and so he does know that sometimes you have to make a decision to benefit the whole, because female Carrie, you know, all of them were in trouble, including female Carrie, and so he ended up doing what he did to save everybody, including her. But I can see from her point of view, technically, she's young. And it seems like she's never had to, quote, be on her own. She hasn't had to grow up, so to speak. And this is the moment to where she doesn't have that safety net. She's basically been kicked out of the house, and she has to figure out how to function. And it's really a shock to her.
Yeah, again, I'm not blaming Mel Carrie at all. He did what he needed to do to save everyone. But from Girl Carrie's point of view, he's been protecting her whole life. He's been taking care of her. And when she felt like she needed him the most, he wasn't there.
Yeah, so they're definitely going to have to work through that as they go forward, because it's not like they can divorce each other, because they have to reintegrate at some point in time, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So they're going to have to work through it and go from there. So another point that everybody wanted to talk about was the death of the eye. So Lauren, you were most excited to talk about that. So why don't you take point on this?
Ooh, okay. So this is during the whole Bolero monster silent movie scene. And the eye is there because he's been menacing Girl Carrie through the hallways. And Lenny has decided she's had enough of him. He's outlived his use. So she does this. First, she kind of takes control of him, just stands there and makes him mimic her. And then she crumbles him. And it is horrifying. It's visually striking. And then in the real world, you just see blood start pouring down his face, and it's terrifying.
And he seems to get smaller too in the real world.
Yeah, like there's something changing in his face. It's like, again, it's fascinating and it's awful, and you can't look away. And if, like, the first time I saw it, I was watching through my fingers. Like, it was really, really good effects, but oh, so disturbing.
And it seemed like he maintained consciousness until maybe the end, when his eyes started bulging out of his head. So he was feeling the entire process as it was going through. Michelle, it was one of the more gruesome deaths that we've seen. And we've seen some gruesome deaths here on Legion.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Eye. The Eye's not exactly the best human being out there. But even that was cruel. I know he's the one that stabbed. What's his name? I'm really sorry, mutant with all the telekinetic powers. I can't remember your name right now. So he could actually project that guy's image to everybody. And so it's interesting how first like that disappeared. And then just the crumbling of that is an image that does not leave you easily.
No, it does not, because the body is being crumpled in. Compacted, like
folded.
Yeah, like it's never meant to be. So that was interesting that the Shadow King decided to perform that sort of death on him. It's like, okay, it's been fun, but I've got no more use for you.
Yeah, that imagery is seriously up there with, I've seen a lot of horror movies, like a lot, and that imagery is seriously up there with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, because after the Eye is crumpled, Lenny's like, okay, you two are next. And she actually like does this, shoots the temple sort of thing, and then both of them sort of move. And then fortunately, Melanie in the real world like whispered into the stabbed guy's ear, and then he woke up in the clockworks and he stops the Shadow King. You know, they can get away. And it's just like, what gruesome fate did the Shadow King have for those two? That would have been horrifying as well.
Yes.
Again, this episode, it's so good and it's so horrifying and it's so weird. And I love this show. Like, this is, for me, the total opposite of Iron Fist, where I'm doing the rewatch and I'm just like, oh my God, can I watch anything else? And here I rewatch it and I'm like, there's so much stuff that I missed the first time around. You guys, this is so good. This is so amazing. Why isn't everyone watching this show?
At least you get to drink with Iron Fist. I can't do that.
That's true. You poor, poor man.
Okay. This was the favorite of both of you out of the eight, right?
I think so. I really, really think so. Aubrey Plaza, I mean, the dance sequence last episode was amazing, but the whole monster performance here was, it was striking. And then the chalkboard thing and Oliver's bolero sequence and just the not quite zombie action sequence and everything for me came together in this episode.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that this did not get any Emmy love. To me, this should have been, you know, like this episode, it's like, come on, why isn't this? Why? And I know it was lower rated and stuff, but this, it's like, no, it deserved recognition. It's like,
seriously, it's Aubrey Plaza was amazing. Dan Stevens was amazing. The effects were great. The costume is great in an incredibly underrated way. It's the set design, again, so good in an underrated way. Come on, guys, show this show some love.
Right. This is as close as we can get to premiere TV or streaming TV, like with the Netflix series or HBO. This is the closest I've seen it on TV. Now, granted, this is a cable channel. It's not regular TV, but this is that quality. It's AMC Walking Dead quality. This is really good stuff. And I'm glad that we have the chance to watch it a second time. All right. Anything left to say about Chapter 7, Michelle?
I really like it how when Sid and Carrie were in the Code of Silence and Carrie's ready to try to explain his very complicated situation in a very quick manner, and Sid's like, no, the monster did this and this is happening and everything, and I need to distract and you need to do this. And Carrie's just like, yeah.
Speaking of Carrie, when he's talking to Oliver and he keeps finishing his sentences and Oliver's like, are you going to keep doing this? And Carrie's not even aware he's doing it because he's just so used to doing that with girl Carrie. They were just really good character moments. Again, this show is so good.
Well, we've got one episode left, which we will be talking about next Sunday. So if you want to come in live and join us, that'll be Sunday the 20th of August at 1 p.m. at www.geeks.live. If not, it will be episode 195, getting close to that 200 mark. Woohoo. You know, talking about episode 200, Gonna Geek just recently had its 200th episode. That's the GonnaGeek.com show. Another show on the GonnaGeek.com network is a newcomer, Digital Soup, and they recently had episode 33, which was entitled Skip the Cutscene Special Guest and Our Top 5 Video Games We Want to See as Movies. That would be pretty cool, right? So this week on Digital Soup, they have a very special guest, James from the Excellent Gaming Podcast, Skip the Cutscene. They look at Samsung's giant new TV. Madden Football brings a story mode to its latest offering. A special surprise quiz show from Jason before the guys run down a list of their top 5 video games they'd love to see made into movies. Once again, that's Digital Soup Podcast episode 33, which can be found at GonnaGeek.com. And now it's news time for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, Haley's not here to lead the news this week, so I'm going to skip back into my hosting news chair and we're going to see what we can do. First of all, we get to see, we get to talk about this, the Defenders final trailer.
I have not watched this yet, but I will be as soon as we're done here.
Oh, it's so good. It gives you, there's no spoilers in it, but you actually see some really cool stuff, some fighting, some quipping. Danny, I can't believe I'm about to say this about Danny Rand, but he looks interesting. Like he's using the fist more. His fist actually breaks a sword. Like, who is this character? He must, you know, be in the hands of better writers and directors. This is good.
I think it might help that in this show, he's not being presented as the protagonist. He's kind of being presented as I understand it, the new guy who doesn't know crap about crap.
So kind of like Ant-Man in Civil War.
Yeah. He's like, let's be a team. We can do this.
And everyone's like, no.
No, we're not going to. Where's Claire? That's what we need. Where's Claire?
Yeah, we need them to be the Defenders. Come on.
Exactly. So unfortunately, Michelle, you won't have a chance to watch this on Friday when it comes out, will you?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that later. So moving on, not only do we have the Defenders coming up, but we also have this little movie called Thor Ragnarok. So what do we got going on with Chris Hemsworth?
Well, other than just fantastic muscles and beautiful eyes and everything, he felt liberated by Thor's shorter haircut. Apparently, he said, once we aesthetically stripped a lot of that away, it allowed the whole thing to take on a different attitude. It felt like a completely different character, and that was hugely liberating and freeing as an actor, because I had become a bit bored with myself. I'm gonna miss the hair, but it's still a good look on him, so.
I know, that meme about his hair, and it's like Thor-iel. You know, because Hem's worth it.
Exactly.
Bored with himself. Wow. Bored with himself.
I can understand what he's saying. Okay, so I am not an actor. I do voice stuff. But from what I understand it, a lot of actors, it's like you put on the costume and that gives you, it's like stepping into the character. It gives you a lot of the physicality. It gives you a lot of the mindset. And the hair was a big part of Thor. So I can understand why you're playing this guy and the hair's a big part of it. And you're just like, oh, okay, well, I'm playing this guy and he's been playing him for a long time. But then you take away the hair and you've removed a big part of that physicality because you have to move a certain way when you have long hair. I used to have long hair. And now that I have short hair, it's very freeing. I love having short hair. So, again, I can see where he's coming from with the whole, it's different now. I can be different.
Yeah, and I am all for that. I know people get tired of different things over time. So, yeah, I get it. It's just, he's a beautiful man. I mean, I'd cross the street for Chris Hemsworth. I'm just saying. So talking about the voiceover stuff, Lauren, I mentioned that a few weeks ago, I did my next professional voiceover gig, and that was for the intro for the Captain Crypto podcast. So I'll drop a link to it in the show notes and you can go check that out. It is all about cryptocurrency and it's done in a pirate theme. So I get to,
oh my God.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty cool. So if you don't like cryptology and bitcoins and cryptocurrency and stuff like that, it's not the podcast for you. But if you are excited about the future and cryptocurrency, basically electronic or e-currency, you can go ahead and check this podcast out. It's at CaptainCryptoShow.com. And the first episode is entitled, What is Bitcoin and What Gives It Value? And you can hear my lovely voice in the intro at the beginning. All right, moving on with our news, though, we have another exciting thing. I think we all loved Big Hero 6, and it had dropped my mind. I had just forgotten that it was transitioning into a TV show, and it's premiering in November.
Yes, it is. Speaking of voice work, this is not the CGI. It's not done in CGI. It's done, you know, animated, but cell animation looks like. And it looks so good. I really, really loved Big Hero 6, the movie. It's only very loosely based on the Marvel comic, but it was such a good movie. And it's going to be premiering on Disney XD in November. There isn't a full air date, but it is in November.
Lots of things in November for Marvel.
It's got about half of the voice cast from the movie, so that should be a lot of fun.
So this is not Netflix?
No, this is on Disney XD.
Okay.
Which is the same channel for like Star Wars Rebels and Star vs. the Forces of Evil and a bunch of other shows that I like. So, yes, good channel.
Okay, because kind of worried because there was that news that came out that Disney's going to start its own streaming service. So don't know what's going to happen with all the Disney stuff on Netflix.
Yeah, that's not until 2019, though, if I remember right. So you should have some time to watch stuff on the Disney stuff that's on Netflix right now before that happens.
Yeah, from what I understand, in 2018, they're going to start their sports version of the channel. And I think it's going to be different than the actual Disney version of the channel, which again is in 2019. So we'll see what happens there. I kind of am scratching my head over that because if they do perceive a drop of income, then maybe they'll put some stuff sporadically on other streaming services, but we'll see what happens in 2019 and 2020. And I think that's it for the news this week, which is great. We're going to move on to some feedback.
We are kind of light on feedback since it's only been a couple days since our last recording, but we have one from at Anthony Bachman. Is it Lauren or Haley that's stoked about Runaways? And I believe the answer is both of us.
Yeah, I think you are very vocal about it, but Haley always chimes in when it's brought up. So yeah, I think you're both really excited about Runaways.
Yeah, I'm very vocally excited about pretty much everything though. So,
well, stuff that you're excited about.
Okay, that's true. I'm very vocally excited about the things I'm excited about and very vocally angry about the things I'm angry about. But yes, we are all excited about Runaways.
I mean, he also reached out to me to ask about New Warriors. There's just a ton of ancillary Marvel series that are coming out outside of ABC, outside of Netflix. So we're just going to have to catch them as they come and see if we can fit them into our schedule at some point in time. Lots of time to deal with stuff here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We just might not get to it while it's airing. Might have to time delay it a little bit, which, hey, we're podcasts. It's time delayed content anyway. So enjoy that for sure. So Michelle, is there a favorite Marvel series that you're looking for? Are you excited about the Runaways?
I'm going to be honest, it's sort of kind of getting lost because there's the Runaways, there's Cloak and Dagger, there's the New Warriors, and there's the Gifted. And it's like, holy cow, because you got the Defenders coming and then there's the next season of Legion. And then there's, I heard there's supposed to be more Daredevil, and then there's the Punisher, and then there's starting to become an avalanche. there's a lot coming out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Punisher's in November, if I remember correctly.
Oh, I forgot about Punisher 2. Oh, my gosh. That's why we're trying to get through all these Netflix series. And we got to get through Iron Fist. Oh, my gosh. Iron Fist. You're killing me, Iron Fist. Scott Buck, you're killing me. Oh, all right. Well, lots of great Marvel stuff coming out, and we will be right there with you. Don't forget about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition, where we run down the weekly Marvel comics. If there's a series in Marvel that you are interested in and we are not covering it, go ahead and contact me, and we'll see if we can set up something, maybe even you, to go ahead and run down that series for the week. I mean, Lauren, you enjoy Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition for your mutants, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. So, and Michelle, I know you listen to it.
Yes.
Yes. There you go. All right. That is it for the feedback. Thank you very much for everybody for getting in touch with us and talking some great Marvel stuff. You can always contact us at all the ways. And with that, we're going to move on to, okay. So Michelle, we've been trying to change up how we transition this last time. Sometimes we skip it out. Sometimes we John McClane it out. I mean, how would you want to get out into the outro of this podcast?
How about we teleport?
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
We're going to teleport this one out. Teleportation. It's great. And by the way, we made it to the end of the podcast. And just a little reminder, Michelle and I are actually, I don't know when this is going to be published, probably after the fact, but on the Saturday, the 19th of August, we're going to be at Gen Con at two panels, aren't we, Michelle?
Yes, we're going to have two panels and they're going to be about podcasting. So either I hope to see you at Gen Con. Hey, it was great meeting you at Gen Con. Or, I really hoped you enjoyed Gen Con. Hope you can attend next year.
Indeed, indeed. So we hope we have seen you at Gen Con and had a chance to meet you. If anything else, just come out and meet us because we just want to say hi and thanks for listening. So go ahead, Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C. It was great seeing you, or it is great to see you. I'll see if I can get this out beforehand. I doubt it. So we'll just see how that goes. But Lauren, you have a chance to reach our listeners at the next opportunity you're going to be at in September.
Yes, I'm going to be at Fandemic Tour here in Houston. It's from September 15th through 17th at the NRG Center here in Houston. And it's got a really good guest list, Sebastian Stan, notably. Let's see if anybody else has been added since Thursday. We're also going to have Bruce Campbell, Sean Gunn, and Michael Rooker. Ooh, okay, Danny Garcia from Walking Dead. Sean Patrick Flannery from Boondock Saints. Julie Benz from Dexter and Buffy and Defiance.
Woohoo!
Yes, Greg Nicotero from Walking Dead. Artists-wise, we're going to have Neil Adams from X-Men. Let's see. Michael Golden from Marvel Studios, Irene Koh from Legend of Korra Turf Wars, which I got recently, Greg Horn from Marvel, Renee Wittenstater from Marvel, and a bunch of cosplayers. And again, I shared the picture last time of Merle the cosplay dog dressed up as Doctor Strange. So cute. It's so, so cute. So yeah, if you're in the Houston area, if you're in the Texas area and feel like driving to Houston, you can find me there. And if not, I will be providing content from there. And yeah, pay attention to the podcast in the weeks leading up and you might have some surprises.
Woohoo! I like surprises. Michelle, you like surprises?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for downloading this show. We really appreciate it. And thank you for all your feedback. As I mentioned before, we really look forward to it every week and keep this great content coming for you, because that's why we do this, for you, our listener.
I want to thank everybody who gets a hold of us, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or wherever. Everybody who sends us stuff or asks us stuff or just thinks about us. We really, really appreciate it. We love hearing from you. We love hearing your thoughts. And we love you.
Again, thank you guys for having me on. It's always great. I'm chatting about Marvel stuff with you. I just really want to thank FX. I know this is strange to thank a network, but, you know, to actually approve of this show and then to stick with it, because I know some people were afraid that maybe they might cancel it halfway through, but to not cancel it and to also give it a second season, it's like, thank you for bringing quality superhero material to television.
Definitely. That is well said. So thank you very much, FX. And more importantly, thank you, Michelle, for stepping in at the last minute. This was a last minute deal having you on this show tonight because we were planning on Haley being on. So it's not like, well, you're just second thought. You are our first thought for a replacement. And thank you very much for being available to come on and share your thoughts about it with us.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So that is it for this week. Got to the end of the podcast, all the way to the end. Until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys next time where we talk Iron Fist. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of Shield, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
For the news, do we want to mention something about comics hate Nazis or no? Because that was a big thing yesterday.
Oh, I love that thread. And
yeah, a lot of it was Marvel Images.
Spoiled.
Why, thank you.
Oh.
You ladies spoil me. Oh, you're talking to the cat. I'm sorry.
So what is this Thursday the 17th going to be?
Iron Fist. What's the next Iron Fist?
Episode 5, I think.
So you're still going through those one at a time?
Yeah. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.